of 1999, I was in the middle of my first year of seminary. I was a student at Seabury Western in Chicago, Illinois. In January of that year, as classes were beginning, we had already finished two quarters, and we were familiar with the classrooms. There was a particular classroom where a lot of our classes were held, and I had a favorite seat in that classroom. I liked to sit kind of in the middle of the back, where I could keep an eye on everything. It gave me a sense of being sort of secure and safe. So in January of 1999, I walked into the classroom for the first course of that particular term, and someone was sitting in my seat. And so in the gracious, generous Episcopal fashion, I said to the person, "You're in my seat." And that is how I met Mimi. And then after that class, it was time for the Holy Eucharist. We had Eucharist every day. And so everyone went to the chapel. And I gathered up my books and my papers after the class, and I had everything in my arms. And I arrived at the chapel to take my place, and there was Mimi sitting in my seat. So, of course, I had had time to rethink the situation during the class. I'd had time to reflect. I'd had time to think about how to be pastoral to someone who was new. And so I said the only reasonable thing. That's my seat. So to be here with you and Mimi as you celebrate your new ministry together is delightful, and all things considered, something of a surprise. I think it tells you something about Mimi's graciousness and her forgiving nature. It tells you what a good choice you have made. Also, today, she did get to tell me where I was supposed to sit. We gather here today with our bishop to celebrate new ministry here at Emmanuel, to celebrate the newest chapter in your life together as a congregation. We gather today to make and to renew vows. All of us will renew our baptismal vows, promising once again to carry out our various ministries. All of us gathered here will vow to support and uphold Mimi in her ministry as rector of Emmanuel. And Mimi, in this service, she actually already has done this, publicly commits herself to that ministry. This is a beautiful service, very carefully crafted. During the induction, which is coming up, you who are members of Emmanuel will find yourselves saying over and over to Mimi, "Join us. Join us. Join us in the many ministries that we carry out here in this place." Mimi is joining you, and you are joining her. And as Bishop Hawley prayed in today's collect, together you will follow Jesus Christ, offering to God your gifts and talents. That's why we are gathered today, to mark officially, ritually, prayerfully, the new ministry begun here by the people of Emmanuel Episcopal Church and Mimi Lacey. Lest we get ahead of ourselves, let me offer you a word of caution. Remember the print. At the beginning of every important endeavor, every new undertaking, it's important to read the fine print, to understand the ramifications, to look closely at what's actually going on, to be clear about what we are doing. For us as Christians, the fine print is the finest print of all, the Word of God. The lessons that Mimi selected for this day are full of promise. We just heard texts that speak about kindness and reconciliation, and above all, about justice. I love the gospel passage that Mimi chose, Jesus' first public speech in the Gospel of Luke, words spoken in his hometown synagogue to neighbors and friends, words about justice and reversal. I love it that Mimi chose this particular passage because it's actually kind of a sneaky choice. Do any of you remember how this hometown visit comes to an end? It doesn't end well. 7 verses later, that synagogue congregation is so full of rage at Jesus that they drive him out of the town and they try to hurl him over a cliff. That's the Jesus that we are vowing to follow, you and Mimi and I. The Jesus whose dangerous path leads us to the edges of cliffs and eventually to the foot of the cross. What happened there in the synagogue in Nazareth? The immediate response to Jesus' words was that all spoke well of him. So what happened? What caused Jesus' hometown fans to lurch so suddenly from fondness to fury? It was that Jesus told them that it wasn't all about them. The good news that Jesus was bringing, the good news that he in fact embodied, was not meant solely for their comfort, not intended simply to make the fine folk of Nazareth feel cozy and pleased and content. In fact, choosing words that couldn't help but provoke his listeners, Jesus pointed out to them that the prophet Elijah helped only one widow during a severe famine, a Gentile woman. And the prophet Elisha, during his lifetime, cured only one person of leprosy, the enemy army commander Naaman, also a Gentile. These were not the chosen people of God. In essence, said Jesus, I am coming to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But the recipients of that good news are probably not going to be the people you expect them to be. It's not about you, says Jesus to his hometown. You may have heard that there's an adage. People say that the task for preachers is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Well, carrying out that task tends to go over really well with the afflicted. It's usually not so popular with the comfortable. The challenge of comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable is not just a task for preachers. If we truly want to follow in Jesus' footsteps, which is what we prayed for today, then comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable is a challenge for all of us as Christians. If the Jesus who preached so provocatively in the synagogue at Nazareth is truly the Jesus that we are determined to follow, then we need to be willing to go wherever he goes, to risk having our assumptions challenged, to dare to listen to what he actually has to say rather than what we would prefer for him to be saying. That's the challenge. That's the fine print of the vows that we are making here today. Now, the blessing is that we get to do this work of ministry together. God gives us the gift of Christian community, the fellowship of other followers, with whom we can share not only the heartening work of comforting the afflicted, but also the daunting task of afflicting the comfortable, even when the comfortable is us. Even when we want to keep our familiar favorite seat and let the lonely newcomer fend for herself. What we sign on for today as we renew our baptismal vows and commit ourselves to carrying out our ministry, and especially the ministries of Emmanuel Church, is to remember that it is not all about us. It's about something much bigger than us. Paul tells us that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself. The world. It's a big world. A broken world. A beloved world. And according to Jesus, a world worth dying for. Love divine, all loves excelling. That's what it's all about. It's not about us. It's not about us, but it does include us. You and I and Mimi, through God's grace, are called to take part in Christ's work of reconciliation. That's the fine print writ large. There is important ministry to be done in this place, ministry done together. It's not about us, but it includes us. Are you ready?